Hi there, my name is Ivy Martin and I run the shop Created by Caffeine.
Hi, my name's Lisa and I own the store All of the Abovely.
This is Ricky Fitzpatrick of Apple Valley Farm.
Hi, this is Rebecca with Tree of Life Studio.
Hi, I'm Betsy of Chocolate Rabbit Graphics.
Hi, I'm Tess.
And I'm Julie, and this is the Etsy Success Podcast.
We're part of the seller content team here at Etsy, broadcasting from Etsy's headquarters in Brooklyn. The Etsy Success Podcast is your source for tips on improving your shop and for inspiration from your fellow sellers. Our goal is to empower, inspire, and motivate you to be the entrepreneur you want to be.
This podcast is powered by Etsy, where millions of people around the world connect to make, sell, and buy unique goods. Follow your passion and start your Etsy business today.
So custom orders are one thing that I really love about shopping on Etsy, especially right now when I'm holiday shopping and trying to make different people in my life feel really special. Have you ever gotten any cool custom orders on Etsy, Julie?
Yeah, over the years I've gotten many. I once bought a reversible bridesmaid's dress on Etsy, and I've also commissioned several custom cat portraits from Etsy sellers. I've got one for myself, too, of my cat, Gus.
I actually created a custom cat portrait for my friend's cat, Charlie, and I embroidered it, and that was a big hit.
Yeah, I love how custom orders mean you can get something really specific and particular and personal for a gift. Cat lovers or otherwise.
Definitely. And yeah, especially for different events in your life, like for example, weddings. I talked to a couple today who have made over 4,000 custom orders, and a huge part of their customer base are wedding shoppers because they make custom cake toppers.
Yeah, you'd definitely want your cake topper to look like you and not someone else.
That's true. I think they would agree. Their names are Anna and Juan Donato. They run the Etsy shop Goose Grease in Brooklyn. They've also made over 10,000 sales in their craft supply shop called Goose Grease Undone. Today, they're selling wholesale and running both businesses and raising their two young kids. So thanks for joining us today, Anna and Juan.
Thanks for having us.
So where did the idea for Goose Grease come from?
Well, we have an ex-partner that was the one who came up with the name. The name is an old Southern term for homemade medicine that cures basically everything. And when she decided that she did not want to continue with the business, we bought her part, and that's when really Goose Grease became what it now is, which is a fair trade company.
And so Juan, being from Colombia, we were just on a family trip in around 2011, and all of this had just happened where we had sort of taken over more control of the business. And just by talking to people, we ended up meeting with a carpenter who turns spindles for staircases. And so we basically showed him our dolls and asked him if he could make one, and he made one and then made another, and 100, couple thousand, and then before you knew it, we are now, you know, exclusively working with this carpenter.
Yeah, I think a lot of sellers struggle to be sustainable, be eco-friendly, but also profitable as a business. How have you managed to make eco-friendly products that are also profitable for your business?
Well, this is the other point, was that when we did make that switch over, at that point, other Etsy sellers were also buying from the manufacturer that we used to buy from. They started sort of copying what we were doing. And so their dolls were, I mean, so much more inexpensive than ours, simply because of the price that we are now paying our carpenter. But we couldn't compete with that. And so at that point, we just had to say, we can compete with that, and we're not going to compete with that because we're not making that. We're making something that is different, that if you want to buy this doll for your kids to paint on, you're going to be teaching your child, this doll was handcrafted. So we're going to paint it. We're not just going to paint it and throw it away because I only bought it for 50 cents or whatever. You know, you're going to really care for the product that you buy. There is history behind that.
It did take some consumer education on our side to let people know that the value, that what they're paying for, is exactly that, the transparency, the fact that the carpenter that we work with now can employ his brother to make dolls.
Do you have any advice for sellers who might be trying to be more eco-friendly but struggling to figure out the profit?
We didn't start at the price range in the blank dolls that we are now. So we did take it slowly. We went up a little bit, and then we're now at the price per doll that is a good profit range for us, and that it fits for our time and the time it takes to pack the doll and everything. But it did take a couple of years until we were just raising the price by a little bit by a little bit, until now it's finally there.
And it's normal, because in the beginning you really don't want to reject any orders. So if somebody says, why are your dolls so much more expensive? Well, you have to invest in explaining. It takes time to put the word out there, and as the word starts getting out there a little bit at a time, then people start seeing the value of what you're doing, hopefully, and that's the moment where you can say, okay, we can raise our prices a little bit, start looking for your price range gradually.
Your product will then be a good fit for some and not a good fit for others, and that's okay. So there is a different fit. It's going to be, has to be the right fit for your customer, and you just have to have the confidence in your product and just let it be.
No, that makes sense. So you also sell craft supplies in Goose Grease Undone, so how do you keep your inventory organized?
We used to sell also matryoshkas, and we used to sell wooden beads and, you know, all sorts of little wooden things, until we basically just were like, the peg doll. It's all about the peg doll. So we just kind of went to just the doll. So now we only have like 7 sizes of dolls, plus we have like oversized ones, but it's pretty condensed. So, and we have the bins in our studio, and the dolls fit into the bins, and that's basically, you know, what we have. So we don't have this like huge range and we have to categorize everything. We just basically streamlined to the products that worked for us.
Yes, that was an important moment also in the shift of what we, like our brand and our merchandising, when we just said we need to trim the excess here and focus on the essentials.
Is there anything else that you've learned from your experience with selling craft supplies?
I think as a supply seller, you have to think of yourself as a curator, and that you're essentially curating the right products that an artist or a maker would need to remake something. And that happens because you've done your own research and you know what materials are good. And then maybe you find, I don't know, one material in Australia, one material comes from wherever else, and then you put them all together in this nice package so people can just go to your place and you're sort of the one-stop shop. Anybody can just buy something and resell it, right? So essentially that's what you're doing when you're selling craft supplies, unless you're making them yourself. But then if you also like know how to do something, like maybe, for example, you figured out the package that you need to paint on the go. So then you can sell like a sketchbook and watercolors and paintbrushes that are like the best. So you're essentially curating what the artist needs to do that. And then that's really like when the magic happens.
Yeah, definitely. So when and also why did you start accepting custom orders?
The custom orders happened from the very beginning. And I think that part of the beauty of peg dolls is that you can really turn it into anything. And as our business grew, we had to really separate the custom from non-custom. So when you're, you know, just starting out, well, you'll adjust anything. So let's say you make a set and somebody says, can I have this set with blonde hair and a blue body instead of brown hair and khaki body? And you're like, yeah, okay, great, sure, I'll do that. But then as you grow, you just don't have that much time. That was when we start working with painters in Colombia. We just started working with one. And so I would teach her, I don't know, 4 or 5 different sets, and she would do them. And so then they were already painted, they were done. So when somebody asks, can you change the hair color? Well, no, because it's already done, right? And also we didn't want to separate the set. So then we had to have sort of a separate price bracket as well for the custom work.
The majority of our customers are very nice people, but some of them are difficult. So the interaction when you send them photographs and they want a correction 1 time or 2 times or 3 times, then that also needs to be taken into consideration at the time of pricing.
Right.
Because as Anna says, your time starts being more and more valuable as you grow, and you can start picking and choosing what you do and what you don't do. Actually, a custom order that we made launched our Instagram following, because It ended up being one of the Kardashian sisters, and she posted it on her Instagram feed. That ended up
We were on a lunch break, and I opened the phone, and I said, Juan, something just happened. I don't know what, but we got, like, you know, hundreds of followers in, like, 10 minutes, so something is going on. Yeah, we also did some dolls for the president of Colombia.
Whoa. How does it feel to be getting orders from the president?
Everything about what we do is... Every day it's a gift. So every day I'm grateful, every day I'm thankful, and I'm excited. I love painting. I love doing it so much. So I'm obviously super honored and excited if it's, you know, for like the president of a country. But then even for families that, you know, everybody that even if they, you know, they've been looking at our dolls for half a year and then it goes on sale. So then if they're like, oh, I've been watching, waiting for this sale. And you know how much it means to them to get that portrait. And it really just means the world.
I'm wondering, like, what have you learned about offering custom orders, but on tight deadlines, like with weddings or the holidays?
It's better in the end to receive the order, hire some help, and have more of the word spreading out about what you're doing.
Right. So this happened to us last year because we were in the Goop Guide, and it was something that was a surprise to us. And so it brought in a lot of holiday custom orders in around November. And at that point, we would have had to say no. So we basically found somebody to come and paint alongside me and help us to paint. And so at that point, you do have to kind of decide, well, am I going to say no to these orders or am I going to find a way to make it work out? And then the other thing about painting custom orders is that you have to find the system that works for you. So I know with some people who do custom orders, who do wedding orders, they organize their waiting list according to the wedding date. But we basically organize our waiting list according to saying we will do it between 4 to 6 weeks after you place the order. Now, some people need it in 2 weeks. And so then we added a rush fee for that. And that doesn't pay for shipping. That basically pays for the fact that you're asking us to put you into our waiting list ahead of somebody. And maybe I have to stay up extra 2 hours to paint that or, you know, hustle to get it done.
What's your approach to customer service when it comes to your wedding shoppers?
I find that it's always best to reach out and communicate. And sometimes I don't do that, and then I sort of suffer for it. If I'm painting and I'm in the groove and I'm just painting, and then I have a doubt about, is it bright blue or navy blue? Oh, maybe just navy, and I paint it. And then guess what? It was bright blue. But if I had just taken a second to ask the question, is your suit bright blue or is it navy? That would have saved me the problem of then having to fix it later. So now, sometimes also you're on a time crunch and you don't have time to wait for them to respond. Sometimes when we get the custom orders, as soon as we open them and see the details and information that they've sent us, even if we're not gonna work on their order for another 4 weeks, if we notice like, hey, that photo didn't upload or this seems unclear to me, go ahead and ask them questions to get the ball rolling with the communication, because later you might have to fix it and it could have just been because you didn't communicate and find out something that you were unclear about.
Yeah, it can be a little difficult when people are in a high stress situation.
You can really tell from the beginning of the conversations if they're going to be more laid back or, you know, and at this point we are pretty confident with what we're putting out. So I know that if I'm following the instructions of the design that they're giving me, then they're going to love it and it's going to be great. But if I didn't get a detail that they sent, that's when it's like, oh, you forgot this, or his suit is open and it's not closed, or, you know, little things that are very important that you want to replicate. But
and I think in that respect, you just have to give yourself an honest look and realize if it's your fault or not.
Right.
If it's your fault, I mean, there's moments where you have to take the hit and say, okay, we have to remake this, redo this. It's a time crunch, it's a hassle, but it was our fault. Mm-hmm. So I think also that that adds to the value when customers see that you respect that fact, that if it's our fault, we'll be responsible for it.
And even sometimes if it's not your fault, they're going to still be super grateful.
What do you like most about working together?
Oh. because we know each other so well, that the product and the company and the brand of Goose Grease really has come out of us being together. So even the sets that we create, products that we make, everything is really about who we are. It really is our life story. Goose Grease is like a way of life for us. So it really has become a part of us in that way.
Okay, now it's time for the lightning round, where we've collected questions for you from the forums and the Etsy Success social channels. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
David Wright from Bare Hands Bracelets wants to know, what kept you going through the quiet times? What did you tell yourself during those inevitable valleys, and what did you work on?
There were definitely quiet times, and we now can foresee when they're going to happen. We do know now with the season of our products, when are the quiet times, and now we plan for them. So we say, hey, we know we're going to have a quiet time during this month, so we maybe have a project that we want to work on. So let's work on that project during that month. Last year, this past year, we self-published a children's book, and that's what we did during that quiet time when we knew that it was we weren't going to be bombarded with custom orders.
Have the confidence in your product and you retreat into more work on your product.
Definitely. Anna Dolph wants to know, even though you probably love all your creations, which is or was your favorite and why?
So we have a set of peacemakers that have Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, Gandhi. When we started going down that route, it made more sense to us that we also want our dolls and toys to educate and in that way.
Yeah. Okay, last question. Andrea R. from Lily Calligraphy Co. asks, how long did it take for you to be able to finally say, I've made it, my business is a success?
A long time. I don't think that we want to ever say we've made it, we're there, because we want to continue making it and expanding. So obviously there's milestones, and the milestones came after a couple of years of hard work, to say the least.
Well, I would say our first large wholesale order with One Kings Lane was a big milestone for us, because that was when we really had to separate wholesale and custom. And that was when we had to say, hey, we need help.
And also personally for us, it was a moment where we understood that if Goose Grease was going to grow, it could not be a one woman show or man show, because we needed more elbow grease to get this going. So that was also a turning point for us.
So Anna and Juan, thank you again so much for coming in and talking with me today.
Thank you for having us. It was
fun. Thanks, yeah.
Before we go, we'd like to leave you with Shop Talk. For each episode, we'll post in the forums and on the Etsy Success Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter asking a new question for you to answer by calling in or emailing us a voice memo. For this episode, we asked you to share what inspired you to open your shop. These were some of our favorites.
Hi there, my name is Renee, and I run the Etsy shop known as Tripods. That's T-R-I-P-A-W-D-S. We run the world's largest community for people and pets faced with amputation, and we started it when our dog Jerry lost his leg to terminal cancer back in 2006. When he got sick, we hit the road in our RV to give him the best road trip ever. All of the pieces that I make are made from the workspace in the back of our RV, and I've hammered metal from coast to coast. And today, 10 years later, we're still on the road with our current dog, Wyatt, who is also a tripod.
My name is Kristen Meek. I'm the owner and designer of Ishka Bibbles Designs, and I was inspired to open my Etsy shop when it was a suggestion by my manager at work. I worked in a theater and I was creating costumes. I wanted to open up my own shop and have my own designs, but I could not afford at that time to pay for a website. And my manager said, why don't you check out this site called Etsy? And I did. And guess what? 9 years later, I'm still selling my designs on Etsy.
Hi, my name is Claire and I'm the owner and maker at Small World Dreams. About 10 years ago, we immigrated to Australia from Zimbabwe and I suffered depression. I couldn't really work for anybody else, but I absolutely love making things, and I found this was an outlet and helped me out of my depression. Etsy was a wonderful way for me to connect with other like-minded people, an absolutely wonderful creative community. I've always been creative. I think it comes from my grandmother, who always had scrap fabric and made the most beautiful little purses for me as a child. And now I'm making my own bags and making other women happy, and I absolutely love what I do.
Be sure to keep an eye on the forums and the Etsy Success Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for ways to participate in a future podcast. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate us and leave us a review. And remember to subscribe so you'll be the first to know about new episodes.